You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Monday. More phone calls as we always do every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. What you saw that you liked or didn't like. Heisman Trophy winner Carson Palmer, former NFL quarterback, will stop by in about 15, 20 minutes or so. Ravens slip by the Chiefs. Titans over the Seahawks. Cowboys over the Chargers. And the Raiders go into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers. Your 2-0 teams, Rams, Niners, Bucks, Cardinals, Broncos, Raiders, and Panthers. Lions at the Packers coming up tonight. After Alabama beat Florida on Saturday, conversation wasn't about how impressive it was to go into the swamp and come away with a win. Instead, feels like that storyline is maybe the Crimson Tide are vulnerable this year. Before the weekend, though, the Tide hasn't shown much vulnerability in a long time. And it didn't seem to matter how many players they lost to the NFL or how many assistant coaches left for bigger jobs. They struggled defensively against the Gators. They found themselves in a real battle, and maybe that's a good thing. Bryce Young, the quarterback, has to learn how to win those close games. Nick Saban won't be able to make up things to yell at his players about. They could use a close game or so. And maybe that's a launching pad for another undefeated season. Or maybe it's a sign of things to come. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, they've dominated in the Final Four era. Clemson and Ohio State already have a loss. Clemson didn't look good against Georgia Tech. Oklahoma held off Nebraska. After Saturday, at least, there seems like there's a chance that Alabama's going to face serious challenges to stay up there. And you start to think about Alabama's dominance. Alabama's won 17 consecutive games, 15 of those by at least 15 points. Only two games they've won by less were Florida. 6 points last year, 2 points on Saturday. Make sure you check out the Dan Patrick Show store. Got some great things there in honor of Paulie's birthday. There's a sale going on in the store.
But birthday week.
Oh, birthday week.
Celebrating Paul's birthday week.
Week. Very, very weak. Paulie doesn't like celebrating.
I don't like celebrating your birthday or my birthday.
Yeah, I don't like celebrating mine.
That's why we've made it an extravaganza.
Two t-shirts, $49 plus. Be sure to check out the limited edition tailgate package, a collaboration with our new partner, Sportique. High quality items, super comfortable, and a flask. Handwritten note from me. That's all at danpatrick.com.
And that's the present we got, Paul.
I got him.
For his birthday was t-shirts, two for $49.
Oh, that's nice.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Yeah, we made Paul pay $49.
For his own
t-shirt. Happy birthday. Yeah, Paul.
The more you buy, the more annoyed I get. That should be the promotion.
New poll question. Do you want to go with this for the final hour? Which one is a, quote, situation? Paul, you want to pitch your poll question?
I was thinking there's a few situations in the NFL. Like Jameis Winston had a terrible game the other day, but it wasn't on national TV. Mm-hmm. If it was, would they have a situation at quarterback, or is this like you realize he's a week-to-week guy? Mm-hmm. Okay. Carson Wentz, Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys. Is he the best running back on his team, and does he have to start?
Well, he might be the best running back, but I really like Tony Pollard. Pollard makes $700,000 a year. Zeke, I'm paying, what, $15 million a year? That feels like that's one more year. That this year for Zeke.
There's a couple posts this morning from local reporters in Pittsburgh that Ben Roethlisberger is not on the same page with his offensive coordinator. That usually comes out in October. It's a little early this year that he's upset with the offensive coordinator.
Well, yeah, he could be upset with the defensive coordinator as well because Derek Carr, went in there and looked like an all-pro quarterback. But they had some injuries there. That was the one game that really surprised me. The Raiders winning, even with the injuries, they still went in and how they won. Because Derek Carr is got 800 passing yards after 2 weeks. He threw for 382, two touchdowns as the Raiders beat the Steelers. I just don't know if people are buying into the Raiders, if they will, because they've teased us before. I wasn't surprised that the Titans won in Seattle, believe it or not. And I wasn't surprised Dallas beat the Chargers in L.A. And then next Sunday night, so Aaron Rodgers and the Lions tonight, and then next Sunday night, it's Aaron Rodgers in San Francisco. That'll be at 7 Eastern on NBC and Peacock. If you're Aaron Rodgers, you need to build up a little house credit here, I think. Like a nice throw for, 280, three touchdowns, maybe an economical 18-24, something like that. Withstand maybe a Lions late charge, maybe Lions cover with the late charge, something like that. Just like, let's just ease into the week here, because that game against the Niners, they got a couple of games coming up here. But the marquee game next weekend is going to be the Rams against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Yeah, Paul.
The Saints have Jameis Winston at the Patriots next week.
Yeah.
Which is a defense that takes advantage of gunslingers.
Yes. Is Urban Meyer and losing a situation, a thing? Yes, Todd.
I think it definitely is. He seemed a little more calm. They had their moments. Trevor Lawrence had a nice early touchdown. They had like a 102-yard kickoff return, which ended up being meaningless for a touchdown. But he doesn't seem as crazy for week two. But I think over time, it's going to wear on him. I think it's, of all those on that list, I think that's the biggest situation.
And you can't control things. You can't control the media. You can't control your players. It's just different for Urban. And it's a learning process, and he deserves the benefit of the doubt. But if you're losing once a year for coach and quarterback, and you're just not used to answering these questions. But Jameis Winston and the Saints, it just feels like this is who Jameis Winston is. And he can do great things. And I still feel like he's the quarterback, not Taysom Hill. It still feels like he could lead, the league in touchdown passes and interceptions. Carson Wentz, man. I don't know what the injury is, but he's on the sidelines, and I don't know. Zeke Elliott feels like this is the last year. Ben, whether he gets along with his offensive coordinator or not, feels like it's the last year for him. But Urban Meyer is just dipping his toe into the NFL. Who does Jacksonville have coming up next? And keep an eye on Dallas, because this was one of those. They played Tampa, went toe-to-toe. You beat the Chargers, a good team, in Los Angeles. They could turn out to start out 8-2. I don't think the schedule is that difficult. Yeah, Paul.
Your Jaguars have Arizona, Cincinnati, Tennessee, Miami, bye week.
All right. They might be able to get two wins. Miami, a no-show. I know you lost Tua, but you look around and you go, wait, you got crushed by Buffalo. And Jacoby Brissett is a good backup to have there, but you're at home, your home opener, and you get following a win against the Patriots. That was an impressive performance by Buffalo. I shouldn't be myopic and not look at what Buffalo did, but that was impressive. Yeah, Sid.
Feels like Buffalo did what they're supposed to do, though.
Yeah, but 35-0?
They should beat up the Dolphins, right?
The Dolphins are a good team. That was a 10-win team last year. My Dolphins. All right, maybe not.
Well,
a couple of phone calls here. Larry in Arizona. Hi, Larry. Welcome to the program.
Me back, Dan. My best of the weekend was a very exciting Arizona Cardinals victory.
Yeah. How about that exciting Arizona Cardinals, Larry?
They're really exciting, Dan. My worst of the weekend was my call on Friday, and Arizona State's loss to BYU. 17 yep. penalties, 4 turnovers.
Yep, I watched the Arizona State-BYU game. Thank you, Larry. And, I'm on the bandwagon with the exciting Arizona Cardinals. Larry must have thought that I somehow didn't think that Arizona was exciting because I didn't bring up Arizona and Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray's really exciting. I don't know if the Arizona Cardinals are, but Larry took me to the woodshed on Friday, and boy, did it hurt.
I would presume then that you don't find them very exciting.
Then I'm defending myself to Larry in Arizona about, I like Kyler Murray. I do. I go back to, days when he was at Oklahoma. Thought that he was great. Fun, must-see TV. Yes, Paul?
And late night, your Sun Devils gave it up.
Yes, they did.
Sun Devils were 2-0. UCLA, they're getting a little buzz.
Yeah.
gave it up to BYU.
They might have been buzzed. That was the problem. James in Cincinnati. Hi, James. What's on your mind today?
What up, DP? 6 foot, a slender 185. So my worst of the weekend is Mr. Joey Burrow throwing three picks and the Bengals losing, along with our Cincinnati Reds losing the last 15 of 22 and dropping three games back in the wild card. But yep. My best of the weekend is how about them Bearcats taking down the Hoosiers on our way to the bye week and are going to take down Notre Dame in 2 weeks.
All right. James has made the call there. Yeah, Belichick. Or I should say Cincinnati beating Indiana, and then I watched Notre Dame. Notre Dame, not good. Not good. I mean, and you know, Purdue's not bad, but you keep waiting for Notre Dame. They got, I know they got a young quarterback, but you got an established veteran quarterback. You got a great tight end, great running back, couple of players on defense who will play on Sunday, and you're watching, you're going, man, not good. Not good. Yeah, Paul.
A couple look ahead game. 2 weeks from 2 weeks, Ole Miss at Alabama. Matt Corral, the Ole Miss quarterback, is right now the betting favorite for the Heisman. He either he locks it down if they win that day. Early.
Bill Belichick on WEEI this morning had this to say about the taunting penalties in the NFL.
Yeah, in general, I don't think there's a place for taunting in the game. I think that's poor sportsmanship, and it leads to other things. It leads to retaliation, and then where do you draw the line? And so, I think the whole idea of the rule is to kind of nip it in the bud and not let it get started. And I'm in favor of that. I think that we should go out there and compete and try to play good football and win the game on the field. I don't think it's about taunting and poor sportsmanship. That's not really my idea of what good football is.
Okay. Did Lamar Jackson taunt by doing a somersault into the end zone? Now, is that celebrating or is that taunting? Coach, I'll hang up and listen. See, that's what I don't understand. What is taunting? What is celebrating? I would think a guy who is all alone going into the end zone and he wants to do a somersault might be taunting you because he's saying, I can do a freaking cartwheel if I want to get into the end zone, and you're not around to stop me. Yeah, see.
I just don't understand how you can have a game that's played that physically, it's with that much aggression, where you're on the sidelines before the game and the coaches are smacking you in the head to get you ready to go play, and all the guys are going, hur, 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 barking like dogs, and then all of a sudden you finally get out there and you make the tackle, and then you just walk away. Just get up and do it all again. And why?
I agree. I don't know where this groundswell came, where you're like, you know what? We got one big problem in the NFL. What's that? Taunting.
Did you see that guy spin the ball after he had an amazing play?
My God. My day, that never happened.
We got to get rid of that.
I would get,
look at that ball spinning.
He wouldn't do it again when I was playing. Yeah, boy.
Remember the Super Bowl pregame show about a year and a half ago? It was the 100th anniversary of the league, and they panned all these Super Bowl winning coaches, and they show Bill Belichick, and he's holding up four rings in his hands and with a big smirk on his face. He taunted the entire league.
Taunting.
Wow. Worldwide television.
Wow.
He didn't even bring all the rings because he probably couldn't carry them all. He just brought four of his favorites.
Man, you're right. What is taunting? I don't know.
You start out the first game of the season, that'll be 15 yards.
Coach Belichick, taunting. Yes, Todd?
And where do you draw the line between getting mossed by somebody and the taunting process? Isn't that almost, you're starting to flirt with a taunting situation by mossing someone? You can make a great play on somebody, but usually there's a little bit of something extra there.
You have to explain that for people who don't watch ESPN.
Randy Moss has a thing called You Got Mossed, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah.
If he still even does that.
Yeah, but who cares? Like, that's just on TV.
Yeah, but it just instigates and plays up the whole thing that the NFL supposedly doesn't want you to do.
I don't know if anybody's ever said, you mossed me. Now I'm really mad and I'm going to taunt you. By the way, after the Jags have their bye week, they're at Seattle, host the Bills, and then they host the Niners, and then they're at the Rams. What could go wrong? everything. What could go right is probably the better question there. Let me get to Brian in Indiana, then we'll take a break and make way for Carson Palmer to join us. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Hey, DP. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Bigfoot, we'll say 180.
All right.
So I'll start with the worst of the week. That's the obvious. The Colts, first and goal on the one, and couldn't score in four tries.
Mm-hmm.
Best of the week, which by far outdoes the worst, is got to get some texts from my 21-year-old son who just started a new job at Fox Sports out in L.A.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
And he is a recent graduate of Full Sail University.
Well, he is well-equipped then to go into this business, Brian.
Yeah. Yep.
What's your son's name?
Ben McDonald.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, he there was a time when you were on campus, and he actually got you to send me a text where you were making fun of Luka Doncic. So still have that text, and I appreciate it, Dan. I appreciate everything that Full Sail has done for Ben, and we're looking forward to great things.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate that. I remember Ben meeting him and got a job at Fox Sports. That's awesome. All right, let me take a break. We'll come back with Carson Palmer after this in the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. And there's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. And that means when it comes to Discover, you get used to hearing that word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. That's discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Level Select CBD. Provides targeted relief and helps treat everyday discomfort when you need it the most. If you're out for a 10-minute walk or a 10K run, or you're playing golf, you're working out, you apply Level Select CBD and it works right away. Use the promo code DP30, $30 off your entire order today, $30 off levelselectcbd.com. Promo code DP30, not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. I had research go back and see if we've had two pick sixes by the same guy in less than 4 minutes. Miami's Mike Kozlowski versus the Jets in 1983. He returned two pick sixes in a span of 61 seconds. 61 seconds. Two touchdowns. Carson Palmer joining us now. Have you ever had multiple pick sixes in a game?
Morning, Dan. First off, 6'5", 238 as of this morning. But I don't think I've had two. I know I've thrown one a handful of times in games, but two makes you want to go crawl up underneath that injury tent on the sideline and hide.
What's it like though when you throw it and you want to make the tackle, but you probably know you shouldn't make the tackle? But what's that mentality when you throw an interception?
Got to make the tackle. I mean, it hurts when you throw a pick, obviously, for your own fan base. And as a player and as a quarterback, you're worried about your teammates. You're worried about letting your team down. You're worried about defensively statistics. You know those guys on the other side of the ball in your own locker room don't want to give up points. And those points go on the defensive side of the ball and the defensive head, the defensive coordinator's stats. So as the quarterback, you just feel bad that you let your team down, and you got to make that tackle and make up for the bad play you made.
Can you help me understand the taunting rule that I don't know where it came from, like who complained about it, but it's a big deal in trying to understand these taunting penalties now of what is celebration and what is taunting?
Yeah, I mean, it's when the league decides to start a new rule and enforce a new rule, like, you know, a defenseless receiver or leading with the crown of the helmet or hitting a quarterback low, they come with a vengeance and they come with force. And as fans and as players, you know, they end up most likely averaging themselves out. As frustrated as you get when you have a big third down sack and your defense is going off the field and that flag comes out, you know, it hurts when you think it's a bad call if it's a late hit on the quarterback or a personal foul. But they end up, as the season continues to go on, typically averaging out, and some of those calls end up going your way and you're not as mad then.
But did you ever have one of those moments where somebody taunted you or you? Like, what is over the line in taunting, in your opinion?
Well, from the league stance now, you can't even really look at a player after you make a good play and in his direction say anything or spin the football or, you know, you just can't do anything. And it's the same thing that we would go through in the team meeting rooms after games when coach would put up the personal fouls or whatever it was from the week before. Everybody gets pissed that they threw a flag and it could have lost the game or it could have changed the game. But, you know, at this point, as a defender or an offensive player, when you make a great play, you just need to look up in the stands and taunt the stands, because as soon as you turn to another player, that flag's coming out the rest of the season.
Okay, explain this to me. Lamar Jackson has a touchdown where he does a somersault into the end zone. Now, he's not taunting anybody, but it feels like he's taunting everybody on that defense by doing a somersault, Carson.
I think if he would have gotten done with a somersault, jumped up and spun the football in a defender's face or said something to a defender, they might have thrown it. But like I said, I mean, when the league decides to make a change, and the league comes up with a new rule, you need to just ride that wave. Some of them are going to go for you. Some of them are going to go against you.
Lamar Jackson, I wondered if Baltimore would just go empty backfield and let him stand back there and either add another lineman or another wide receiver. But how difficult would that be to try to stop him? Or maybe I should ask, how difficult would that be for Baltimore to have that kind of philosophy on offense?
Well, the reason they can't is because they have 15 more games, and they need Lamar to stay healthy. And I mean, I love watching the guy play. He's one of the most exciting players in the league right now, outside of Kyler Murray, in my opinion. But you got 15 more games of Lamar. You got to keep him healthy. There's so much he wants to do with the football. He wants to put a shoulder in defenders. He wants to run guys over. But again, you got a lot of football left, and they need him on the field. If he's not on the field, they are a completely different team.
But do you want exciting? You know, Kyler Murray is exciting. Lamar Jackson's exciting. Mac Jones is not exciting. You know, there's certain guys by design. Exciting always feels like you're right. You're teetering on the edge of something could be unbelievable, but it could be unbelievably bad as well.
Yeah, and when you think about the best to ever play, Brady's as unexciting as it gets, and he's got a whole fistful of Super Bowl rings. So exciting sells tickets. Exciting gets you Monday night football games if you're an owner. But at the end of the day, consistency is what you want. And, you know, Brady's been really, the epitome of that. It's not super fun to watch. I'd much rather sit around and, you know, watch a Kyler Murray run around and make plays. But at the end of the day, Brady gets it done time and time again.
But as a quarterback, when you would look at game film for the upcoming opponent, did you ever look at the opposing quarterback and help your defense in any way? Like, could you see things that could help your defense? Would that ever be part of your role?
No. I mean, at the NFL level, the defensive coaches are so good. They're seeing what probably your own quarterback is seeing. So, you know, when you start studying for a Sunday game on Monday or Sunday night, you're so focused on what you're doing on offense and so focused about the game plan and the formations and all the adjustments you have at the line of scrimmage, you don't have the capacity or the bandwidth to study also the opposing team's quarterback. So, you know, quarterbacks are worried about themselves and perfecting their game as much as they can.
We're talking to Carson Palmer, Heisman Trophy winner, of course, spent 15 years in the NFL. You were part of Hard Knocks, weren't you? Was that 2015?
No, I did Hard Knocks probably in like 2008, 09, 10. And then we did, the Amazon series in 2015,
but did
All or Nothing.
Did they spend a week with you on just watching how you prep for a game?
I did that with Peter King. Peter King did a deal where he came and stayed with me in Arizona and kind of walked him through what it's like to play quarterback in the NFL.
Wait, he stayed in your house in Arizona?
No, he was okay. In Arizona for the week. He came over to my house at night when I was studying and would just kind of, it was really awkward. I was sitting in my office at night. My kids were asleep. My wife was in bed. And I was over in the office, you know, sitting there studying. And I would kind of look out of the corner of my eye, and Peter was sitting on the couch just watching me. It was really kind of eerie, but
no, that's called creepy.
That's why
Carson.
He's the best of the best. I mean, he's willing to, you know, to sneak into somebody's house at, you know, 11 o'clock at night and watch them study. And then he was there first thing in the morning, jumped in my truck and rode to work with me.
Okay. But what would I see if I watched you study prep for an opponent?
I think everybody's different. I know some guys like to kind of sit back, you know, on a couch and take notes. I always had to be sitting at my desk, and I had my computer connected to a TV on the wall, and I had my notebook out. It's just hours and hours and hours. Everybody does a little bit different. I would start and just draw up every possible blitz that team had run in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and then go through all the protections we were using that week and make sure all the protections matched up and find the ones that don't match up, where you don't have a way to pick up a specific blitz on defense, and figure out how I was going to get into the game and adjust that. So, I mean, it's just every guy's different. Everybody has a different routine, but a lot of it sits at a desk with a computer and a TV and a notebook, drawing and taking mental notes and jotting down notes.
How often would you design a play?
Never. Well, now I do all the time. I'm coaching seventh grade football in Idaho, so I'm coming up with all kinds of stuff now. But I played for some great ones. I mean, Bruce Arians and on down the list. And if I ever tried to walk into Bruce's offense and show him a play I would run, you would hear so many MFs, "Get out of my office. That's my job. What are you doing?" So I knew my role. I stayed in my lane, and I just tried to execute the plays that the coaches drew up.
How can you explain Jameis Winston that he giveth and taketh away, that desire to maybe not have that, whatever it is that says throw it away, like gunslinger? Brett Favre could do it, but he also threw 300 interceptions in his career.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is obviously a huge year for Jameis. You know, he's had some greatness, like in week one with the 5 touchdowns, and we've seen some greatness of, you know, from a handful of years he was in Tampa. But, you know, when it consistently shows up in different offenses, when you got different jersey on and different helmet, at some point, you know, you're running out of runway. If it continues to go, I mean, they're only 1-1, but I wouldn't be shocked if you saw, you know, a little bit more of the dual threat there in New Orleans right now, with both quarterbacks getting more and more action with some of the decisions that he's been making as of lately.
If USC asked your opinion for the next head coach.
I don't have one guy on the top of my list. I think there's a lot of really good candidates. I just like that we've got pole position. You know, we fired our coach first, so we're starting the process right now. And there's been years where, you know, you see a team that waited a little too long, fired a coach, and that coach would actually have rather gone to that place, that university or that organization, but they had to take a job because somebody fired somebody earlier and they started that recruiting process, the next head coach. So, you know, I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know that Mike Bone knows who it's going to be just yet. I just like that we're the first ones out the gate. Every coach out there knows that our job is open. I would think it's an attractive job for every other college coach and just, you know, most NFL guys. So we've got pole position. We've got an opportunity to hire the best of the best when these guys come available.
That atmosphere at Penn State this weekend against Auburn, that whiteout was unbelievable. The toughest environment you ever played in was where?
Man, I loved going to Baltimore, watching that game last night, Kansas City and Baltimore last night. There's something special about Baltimore.
But what about college? Did you have
college? Well, I went to Florida State as a freshman in the Peter Warrick, Chris Winkie national championship year, and we got absolutely drummed. But that place rocks. When Florida State is good, there isn't a whole lot going on in Tallahassee. Everything that's happening in Tallahassee is in Doak Walker Stadium. And being in that environment, you know, with the chant where the whole – it is really, really special and unique.
Do you understand now that when we watch a game, we think it looks easy at times because of the angle of the TV, you know, the cameras, when like you watch it now and you're going, "God, that guy's wide open. How could he miss him?" But when you were playing, you probably thought, "You guys don't understand what it's like to play quarterback, you know, the crowd noise and there's blitzing and this is why fans think, God, how did you miss that throw? It looks easy.
I know. What an idiot. That guy was wide open. Yeah. You know, that's what makes this game so great is everybody can be a coach. Everybody can be a Monday morning quarterback. Everybody thinks coulda, shoulda, woulda done this, done that. And to be honest, there was multiple times I'm watching film on Monday. I'm like, man, I can't believe I missed that easy throw. And man, I can't believe he caught that or I squeezed that in that window. But that's why being a college fan and NFL fan is so great right now is we all get to have an opinion. We can go on Twitter. We can blow somebody up. We can go to Instagram, all that.
Belichick was asked about if Brady thought Brady could play till he's 50. You know, Tom has talked about that. I don't know if he's serious about it, but Belichick, in his Belichickian way, said, well, if anybody can do it, it's Tom. Could you be 50 years of age and play that position?
That's so old. It's so, so old. You know, I thought 44 was unachievable, but I wouldn't put it past him. I mean, it just comes down to at some point, I know myself, you know, I've got 12-year-old, my oldest are 12. And at some point, man, I missed the first practice. I missed their first game. I missed their entire soccer season or football season or whatever it is. At some point, your kids really start to grow up. You know, it's different when they're 3, 4, 5 years old. But when your kids are going into their teenagers and you're not going to practices and you can't take them to school and you start missing out on some of that, you know, I think that's probably on his radar right now. And 6 more years is just 6 more years of missed opportunities because as we all know as parents, the kids are gone fast. They're out of your house fast and they're off to college or whatever's next. So at some point, you know, I think Brady's going to have to make that decision. It's going to be more of a family decision and less of a, you know, can my body do this? Can my arm still have that same zip and that same velocity on the football? I think it comes down to him more of, you know, I want to be around my kids before they head off to college.
Yeah, he could always do what I did and just, you know, basically not see them for a few years when I did second shift at ESPN. It worked out well for me. I don't know how my kids are, but, you know, maybe that's the best thing to do. I got to do that and didn't have any guilt there, Carson.
Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, now you're a grown-up, you know, you're a parent, coach, you're doing it all. All the right reasons there. Hey, it's great to talk to you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great day.
That's Carson Palmer. Weekly appearance in the NFL season brought to you by our partner, Level Select CBD. Looking for next relief? Visit levelselectcbd.com. Actually, it ate me up, though, when I did second shift because I wasn't around. There was a 3-year period. I wasn't around. I did radio, and then I did the 11 o'clock Sports Center, and I'd get home, they'd be in bed. I'd wake up, they'd be in school. And I was working 6 days a week, Monday through Friday radio and some Sports Center and then Sunday night Sports Center. 3 years I did that. That's not good. Not exactly the father of the year, let's put it that way.
You seem over it.
No. That'll stay with me a long time. It will. Carson's right. Because you're like, oh, you know, you can make up for that. You never do. It's like the silly things. I went to my daughter's school play. I started crying. And my wife goes, this is supposed to be a musical. It's funny. I mean, and I go, I know, but I missed all of this. And she didn't understand in the moment. So you dads out there where you go, hey, you know what? I'll be around late. You never get it back. And it can eat at you. Yeah, Seton.
You know, what's interesting, though, is that your kids all turned out great, right? They're all like tremendous human beings, which would, the way my mind works, I would be like, man, thank God I wasn't around to screw them up. Be like, look, they all turned out great. And like, I didn't mess them up. I wasn't here to completely ruin everything. Look how great they are. Yeah. Great. All right. Yeah. Well, see you later.
I didn't think of it that way. Yeah, Paulie.
And then they turn 12. You're like, hey, you want me to go with you? No. I'm good.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You don't have to drop me off anywhere.
That's all right.
Oh, I know. Like, Paulie has a daughter, and I said, you know, it's going to get to the point where she's not going to want to go up to Vermont on the weekend. She's going to want to hang with friends.
Or she wants to bring 4 friends to Vermont and ignore me up there in a new state.
Yep. Get used to that. You got it. It's around 13 to 17, 18, where you have that window where you just don't even know if that's your kid. I mean, they just look at you like, yes.
And trying to be the cool dad actually backfires on you. Being cool is hanging back, not pushing the envelope like, hey, want me to take your eyes all off for ice cream? No, I'll let you know.
Yeah, we're good, Dad. Thank you. And dad jokes, dad humor, I think I kill. But not with them. They're like, oh, roll my eyes. Yes, Paul.
My house is like a roast when I come home. My daughter gives me like four or five quick one-liners and just crushes me and then heads up to her room.
We'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store tomorrow. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Fritzy says, don't answer the phone calls, but no, we do that.
Yeah, I guess you should take a few.
Yeah.
Don't be rude.
Yeah. Did you see what Mookie Betts did? The Cincinnati Reds have a rookie. I think it's TJ Friedel. He homered in his second major league at bat. So this is first career hit. And Mookie Betts did something that left the rookie really surprised. So he hits a pinch hit home run in the sixth inning. Betts turned to the fan who caught the ball and asked for it back. The fan then threw it to Betts, who tossed it towards the Reds' dugout so Friedel could get the ball and keep it as a memento. Betts returns to right field the following inning. This is in Cincinnati. And he gives the fan a signed bat. How awesome is that? Wow.
Now, was he taunting the Reds fans by being nicer?
Betts said that those types of interactions are kind of everlasting. I think one of the last times I talked to Kobe Bryant, he reminded me that by the time the game is over, somebody knows who you are and somebody recognizes you. Obviously, that's through our play, but that's another way to impact someone's life. I wasn't really doing it for the cameras or anything. I was just doing it because he immediately threw the ball back. He didn't even ask for anything. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool moment there for the rookie and Mookie Betts. Last call for phone calls. Kristen in Cincinnati joins us. Kristen, best and worst of the weekend.
Sorry. I've been waiting on hold. I've always wanted to talk to you. Sorry about that. Best weekend, UC, go Bearcats. Somebody said that earlier. Worst weekend, FC Cincinnati, Bengals, and, of course, the Reds. Womped. But this is, you know, this is my highlight of my day, man. You just made my day.
All right. Well, thank you, Kristen. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, Kristen was on hold for almost 90 minutes there. Raider Joe in California. Hi, Raider Joe.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, the best of the weekend is definitely going to be my Raiders proving all the credits wrong and Derek looking like an all-pro. I know it's only 2 weeks, but worst is, you know, Fritzy not wanting you to take the calls and his Broncos looking just as good as the Raiders, so I got to give it up.
All right. Well, thank you, Raider Joe. Make sure you call back in, like, December. Let me see if you're on that still on that Raider bandwagon. Well, no, I just want to make sure.
He was just Joe then.
Yeah. Joe in California. Hey, this sounds like Raider Joe. Former Raider Joe. No, but you get fan bases like, you doubted us. You didn't think. You're right. 2-0. Congratulations. I've been here before with the Raiders. They have talent, although they didn't have Josh Jacobs in that game. I know we're going to focus on Pittsburgh, and they had injuries there. Henry Ruggs played pretty well. That's good to see. But Henry Ruggs should be good. It's a first-round draft pick. Let me see. What, Paul?
How did Fritzy not do a headline? Ruggs burns the defense.
Oh.
Ruggs burns.
Mm. Missed opportunity.
Oh. Mm. Nick in California. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Dan. It's always awesome to talk to a Hall of Famer to start off the week. Thank you. Listen, my worst of the weekend are my UCLA Bruins, who cannot stand a modicum of success. Losing to Fresno just when they were kind of on an uptick. But my best, and let's not get ahead of ourselves, okay? But on a pace for 7,000-yard season, on a pace for 17-0, the two best wins by far of any team to start the season, Raiders!
I like
Raiders.
It. Hey.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you, Nick. Call back in December, and hopefully you'll still be shouting. Raiders! Love it. Love the enthusiasm there. Rams, Bucks, Niners, Cardinals, Broncos, Raiders, Panthers, 2-0. Let's go, as Tom said. Seton does that all the time.
Let's go.
I know, he's always doing his Tom Brady impersonation.
It's pretty much the only thing I say at this point, here and at home. We're like, hey, you want to have like linguine and clams? Let's go!
Let's go around the room, what we learned. No. Let me do this day in sports history, Paulie.
I got a couple. Cal Ripken ended his streak at 2,632 games. Walter Payton scored his 107th touchdown to break the record by Jim Brown. Oh, 1987. Listen to this. Tony Gwynn in 1986 stole 5 bases in one game. Who'd have thought that?
But he stole 56 bases, I think, one year.
Early Tony Gwynn could move.
Yeah.
And in 81, Marcus Allen of USC rushed for 274 yards in a game against the Hoosiers.
This was also the day Mickey Mantle hit his final home run, number 536. Final results of the poll question.
We switched it. Which one is a situation, air quotes? Ezekiel Elliott, the Cowboys, shocker, then Urban Meyer. We also have a McLovin update.
Oh, on the movie set.
He said he is about to head over to the movie set. He's getting into a van. He said he's very, very thirsty, and his mouth is very, very dry.
He's going to have... It's one of those, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah.
Because Sandler shooting it in Philadelphia, McLovin from Philadelphia, and then Sandler goes, Danny, I'm going to have McLovin in the movie. I go, okay, sounds good. And then McLovin's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, the more he thinks about it, and he's like, he is going to be a nervous wreck. He's got one line. That's it. Todd, what did you learn on today's award-nominated program?
Ross Tucker says you set the tone for the organization with your press box food, so the Ravens serving crab cakes at halftime actually helped them beat the Chiefs.
All right. Seton O'Connor.
McLovin, the actor, has been born today.
Pauly, what did you learn?
Ross Tucker, American. Friday night, Search for Lights.
Yeah.
Search for Lights.
I love that. The fact that he drove around looking for a high school football game while he was up at West Point. Todd, what did I learn today?
Carson Palmer never really drew a plays in the NFL, but does it all the time now. Coaches 7th grade football in Idaho.
What we learned, brought to you by the Compact GLA, proves it's not the size of the SUV in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the SUV. Learn more about the nimble and ready for anything Mercedes-Benz vehicle at MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Seton was doing his Al Michaels impersonation.
There he goes!
Al Michaels will do his Al Michaels impersonation tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Monday, everybody. Seton, Pauly, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly. One more item as we close out this award-nominated show. You can hear it in my voice. M-Drive, the everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age beat them. Clinically tested ingredients support healthy testosterone levels while helping you maintain lean muscle, giving you the energy you need to fight back against aging every single day. Visit mdrivedan.com. Try it for yourself. This month only, take 20% off your first order. Make sure you use the promo code Dan. There's free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. Aging is inevitable, but slowing down doesn't have to be. You don't have to act your age. Nobody wants to do that. M-Drive helps you perform at your best with top-level T-support. Join a community of driven guys like me who refuse to let age slow them down. Visit mdrivedan.com. Get more energy, lean muscle, and healthy T-support that your body needs. Take 20% off, but make sure you use the promo code DAN. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdrivedan.com.